I'm in Love with Your Body by Coprime. Rating, explicit. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Daredevil Comics. Relationship, Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson. Additional tags, point of view Matt Murdock, established relationship, teasing, fluff, sat, light angst, smut, prodige, non-penetrative sex, weight kink, past fat shaming, and the current day consequences of the past fat shaming, apologies, communication, silly nicknames for genitals. Notes. In my head, this is set in a hand-wavy alternate version of Volume 2, where Matt and Foggy started dating at some point in the past, but I don't think knowledge of Volume 2 is necessary to enjoy this fic. Fuck. Matt drags his fist up his cock, his foreskin sliding up with his hands. He bites his lip, imagines Foggy biting it. Foggy's working late at the office tonight, having sent Matt home early in the hope of Matt getting a full night's sleep once this month. But what if Foggy were here, on top of Matt, pressing down on him? Foggy would be gentle, would brace himself with his arms to hold himself up, not wanting his weight to press on the bruises that perpetually litter Matt's body. He wouldn't want to cause Matt extra pain. It's how sex goes whenever Foggy is above Matt. But Matt imagines Foggy's weight, all of his weight, on him. How the bruises on Matt's abdomen would light up as he pushed himself into Foggy. How the cut on his lower back would catch and drag against their sheets as his hips sank down into the mattress under Foggy. Matt hasn't always been kind to Foggy about his size, and Foggy wouldn't trust this seeming change of heart of Matt's. Another reason why Matt's fantasy can only come to life like this when he's alone. Foggy wouldn't even need to do anything. Simply letting Matt take all his weight would be enough to get Matt rutting against him. The fantasy pulls at Matt's mind, speeding his hand. He arches his back, disappointed in the way he's freely able to do so. Matt wishes, he wants, but in this moment there's only Matt in his hands. But if Foggy were here, if Foggy were willing, Matt comes to the idea of Foggy keeping him still, keeping him held down, by nothing more than laying on him. At the office the next morning, while Becky's out researching something for a case, Foggy crowds Matt into the wall. Foggy kisses Matt, but all Matt can do in response is pant. He'd forgotten about the cut on his back until it hits the hard surface of the wall, sending a sharp pain that settles into a steady throb as Foggy presses into him. His bruises have faded, too old, their pain now too small to be interesting. Matt should do something, reciprocate Foggy's passion, but yesterday's fantasy echoes in his head. He could flip them, could make it so that he's the one smothering Foggy with his weight, but he doesn't. Instead, his hands flex helplessly at Foggy's waist. He holds himself still, not wanting to risk Foggy moving back if he were to push against the weight trapping him here. Foggy moves from Matt's mouth to his neck, and the change in position curves Foggy's back, pulling his chest away and taking his weight off Matt in order to reach down. It's a minute change, their bodies are still in contact, but Matt feels the loss keenly. Matt whines, his hands find a use and try to haul Foggy back in. Foggy pauses, pulls back further. Matt screws his eyelids shut in frustration. Foggy asks, "You okay, Matt? That didn't sound like a happy noise." "I'm fine, good, great." "You sure? I hurt you, didn't I? You gotta have some sort of injury on your back. You always do." Matt shakes his head. "The injury isn't the problem." Years of unthinking jokes and a slew of unfunny nicknames he'd rushed to use as Mike echo in the back of his head. "There's the problem." Matt says, "I was having fun. Come back here." And runs his hands down Foggy's back, settles them on Foggy's waist. "As soon as I know what the noise was." "Matt," Foggy trails off. Foggy cradles Matt's face, and Matt's cheeks warm under Foggy's palms. Matt loves Foggy, loves how Foggy touches him like something to be treasured, but Foggy's belly is brushing his as they stand here talking, and Matt wants more. It shouldn't be possible to feel this cared for and this bereft at the same time. Foggy doesn't want to hurt him, and Matt doesn't want to hurt Foggy. It's as simple as that. You didn't hurt me, Foggs, I promise. Pinky promise, even. Matt holds up a hand with his pinky finger out, ready to enact that sacred schoolyard promise should Foggy want to. Foggy sighs. Maddie. Matt is weak to that nickname and the love paired with it. Sometimes Foggy calls him Maddie in exasperation or sadness or aggravation, but always there is love underneath. Matt can't. Matt doesn't want to lie to Foggy right now. He brings their foreheads together, Foggy's hands still on his face. I do have a cut on my back, but that didn't bother me. It was how you pulled away that bothered me. Pulled away? But I'm right here. Matt shakes his head again, a small shift for this intimate position, and Foggy's bangs brush against his forehead. Matt's words fail him. How can he tell Foggy what he wants without bringing up a mountain of old hurts? But also, how can he do anything else but tell Foggy his hidden desires? Foggy knows there's something Matt's not saying, and Foggy Nelson can ferret out any secret once he knows there's a secret to ferret. For now, Foggy is silent, giving Matt time to think. His thumb rasps against Matt's stubble in a slow back and forth. Foggy, Matt begins, then hears Becky's wheelchair approach the elevator that will take her up to the office. Later, Matt promises. We have work for now. I'm holding you to that, Matt, Foggy says, and squishes Matt's cheeks once before stepping away. Matt's arms hover in the air for a moment, enclosing the space Foggy had been occupying, before dropping. At night, after dinner, Matt tries to steer Foggy away from their rack of drying dishes and into their bedroom, but Foggy is intractable. Matt still hasn't figured out a way to say what he needs to say, so he comes up behind Foggy and slips his arms around Foggy's middle and tries a second time to walk the pair of them out of the kitchen. Foggy lays his hands over Matt's and leans back, tipping his head onto Matt's shoulder. Matt braces against Foggy's weight, keeping them upright, and squeezes Foggy. Foggy is warm and soft in Matt's arms, and his digestion bubbles under Matt's palms. Still right here, Foggy says. The scent of dinner, tomatoes and sausage, garlic and spices, and red wine, blowing across Matt's face as he talks. Why not do this in the kitchen, Matt thinks wildly. No plan, no strategy, but what he comes up with on the fly. How is this any different than all the times he's leapt off buildings and confronted foes with only his quick wits to keep him from getting splatted on the ground or hit by a fist? Not that being honest with Foggy is akin to the dangers he faces as Daredevil, and Matt will be keeping the fact that he compared the two to himself. Matt kisses Foggy's temple, discreetly sniffs at Foggy's hair. The only way out is through, he tells himself. I like your weight, he says. On me. Oh, like a sex thing? Foggy scrunches his face in confusion, his muscles drawing together to wrinkle his brow, but he also leans more of his weight back. Is that why I can feel your big billy club poking my butt right now? He asks. Matt grumbles, why do you have to call my dick that? Because what else am I supposed to call it after you spent years going around talking about your little billy club? Anything else? Foggy pushes his pelvis back, pressing Matt's cock into his ample behind. No, he says, you like it when I talk about how very large your big billy club is. Matt's hips twitch forward involuntarily. Foggy laughs. You're just embarrassed you like it. Foggy tilts his head to look at Matt, his facial musculature relaxing out as he presumably eyes Matt, thoughtful for the moment. Foggy asks, is that what this is? He rocks back on his heels, pushing his shoulder blades into Matt's upper chest and forcing Matt to steady the pair of them. His voice is carefully neutral as he continues. You're embarrassed I'm fat, and your subconscious flips it around to something arousing. Matt protests, I'm not embarrassed you're fat. Oh, really? Foggy sounds doubtful. Not that I'm ungrateful you cut out the commentary on my size when we got together, but your timing tells a different story. I thought you'd somehow figured out how to love me carnally, I mean, despite my fatness during those first months once I noticed the change. Foggy's pulse ticks up even as he sounds steady. Is that truly how Foggy sees Matt's affection for him? As something Matt forces himself to feel? and not a genuine outpouring of his passion for the man in his arms? Matt lets go of Foggy to turn him around so Foggy can look at him. He doesn't wear his glasses while at home when it's only him and Foggy, or he's by himself, but he doesn't spend time letting Foggy gaze at him either. This, though, is important. He wants Foggy to glean all the sincerity Matt has to offer in his naked expression. Foggy, I owe you an apology, and it's long overdue. I was an ass. I was an ass every time I insulted you, and I was doubly an ass every time I disguised that insult as a joke. And I'm an ass now because it's taken me this long to apologize. I'm sorry for everything negative I've ever said about your weight or your size. I was mean, and it shouldn't have taken me so long to realize the cruelty of what I was doing. As your friend, I failed you. Matt slides one arm to Foggy's waist, hugging him, and tenderly brushes back Foggy's bangs with the fingertips of his other arm. Matt can smell a hint of salt in the air as Foggy processes Matt's words. You are beautiful to me, Foggy Nelson, just the way you are. Please don't ever think I love you despite some aspect of you, whether that be your weight or anything else. Matt holds Foggy's cheek, scratchy against his palm, as he waits. None of the tears gathering in Foggy's eyes fall, but Foggy's whole body is flushed and warm. Apology accepted. Thank you, Matt. I needed to hear that. Foggy sniffs and rubs away the extra moisture on his lashes. But I think I know a trait of mine you don't love. Matt squints his eyes in confusion. Foggy continues, my love of Dorrit's. Ah, yes. If Matt never again needs to deal with the cheese powder that's more lab chemicals than dairy in their home, that will be fine by him. Matt knows Foggy is deflecting, keeping things from getting too earnest now that the focus is on his emotions rather than Matt's. But Matt's willing to go along with it. He's said his piece. Matt throws his head back in his version of an overly dramatic eye roll and sighs. He says, I maintain that one of your criteria for choosing a snack is how much of a face can I get Matt to make with this one? There's no reasonable explanation for some of what you bring home otherwise. Foggy huffs a laugh, which is what Matt was aiming for. Foggy leans forward, shifting the point of contact between them to press the length of their torsos together. His belly prods into Matt's, and his chest is like a firebrand against Matt's sternum. Matt groans. This really does it for you, Foggy says wonderingly. Breathless, Matt replies, it does. He slides his hands down to cup Foggy's butt so he can keep Foggy in place, just like this, for as long as possible. And the chance to squeeze Foggy's cheeks is simply icing on the cake. It really, really does. Matt loses track of time for a bit. Foggy is heavy in Matt's arms, not moving as he ponders. His heartbeat quick, but not jittery. There's anticipation in the air, Matt thinks, as he waits for Foggy's next move. Foggy's breath goes shallow, like it always does when he's turned on, but not yet doing anything about it. Matt is placing a lot of hopes on that yet for what the future might hold for him. Okay, Foggy says at last. Okay? Okay. But you have to promise to tell me if me on top of you is painful or you're having trouble breathing or anything like that. I will, Matt swears. He closes the minuscule gap between them, kissing the corner of Foggy's mouth, then a deeper kiss when Foggy's lips part in welcome. Matt has nothing good to brace his back against here in the kitchen. The fridge, the only tall, flat surface in their kitchen, hums in a resonance that tickles if he leans on it too much, a fact discovered soon after getting together. So Matt breaks off the kiss to murmur, "Can we finally move to the bedroom?" Foggy rubs the tip of Matt's erection through Matt's pants. "Yeah, let's see how you wield that big billy club of yours," Foggy says. And Matt blushes a little at how his cock jumps in response. Matt grabs Foggy's hand and tugs Foggy away from the kitchen. He's not going to dignify that with a response, he decides. He's going to ignore how well Foggy's got his number, and he's going to ignore the joke he could make about who exactly gets to see this billy club wielding, because it isn't him. His free hand finds the wall in order to keep himself oriented as he traces the path to their bedroom. There's a particular tilt to Foggy's head behind him that makes Matt think Foggy is smiling indulgently at him as they walk. Matt can also sense the blood rushing to Foggy's loins, his radar focusing on that warmth, to the detriment of his ability to walk when he stumbles on the edge of their living room area rug. When they reach the bedroom, Matt pulls Foggy into an embrace, kissing him more, and walks them backwards until Matt's calves hit the edge of the bed. Matt tugs at Foggy's shirt where it's tucked in, and Foggy helps Matt divest first Foggy, then Matt himself, of clothes. With his clothes off, the musky scent of Foggy's cock is that much more potent. Matt wants to sink to his knees and take it in his mouth so he can drown himself in the scent. Foggy wraps an arm around Matt, brings him intimately close, circles a hand around Matt's cock, and strokes. "Let's take that big billy club out of its holster, hmm?" Foggy whispers in Matt's ear as he slides Matt's foreskin down and thumbs the head of Matt's cock. Matt flushes. Foggy has said before Matt gets as red as his hair during sex, and he and Foggy are so close right now. Foggy nibbles on Matt's ear, his mouth hot when he takes the lobe between his teeth, and his breath cool when he releases it and blows on where he just bit. It's a gentle nibble, but the combination of hot and cool has Matt rocking into Foggy's grip. Matt can't let Foggy's own erection go ignored any longer and slips his hand between them. For all Foggy likes to talk about Matt's billy club, Foggy's cock is a perfect fit in Matt's palm. Matt tugs on that perfect cock and is rewarded with a heartfelt groan from Foggy. "Matt," Foggy gasps, "you need to show me how to do this. I don't know how to... He trails off. Foggy's hesitance is atypical for their lovemaking, and Matt realizes anew how deeply his thoughtless comments have hurt his friend. "He'll do better going forward," he vows, and puts his vow into immediate action by lying down on the bed and coaxing Foggy on top of him with gentle nudges and sweet kisses. Matt takes a quick moment to slick their cocks with lube before Foggy fully settles on him, and then he gets Foggy just so, their cocks trapped between them, and Foggy is heavy, 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 heavy. Foggy blankets him, and Matt is going to combust from all Foggy's skin against his, from Foggy's body holding him down. Matt bucks his hips. Their cocks rub against each other, the lube easing the friction. Foggy's heartbeat is wild. Matt can feel it in every part of his body, down to his bones. The cut on Matt's back stings, a sharp counterpoint to Foggy's weight. Matt grabs Foggy's delectable ass, squeezes, and Foggy cries out, thrusting against Matt's belly. Foggy's rear is a wonder, and the way he responds when Matt gets his hands on it is exquisite. They rock against each other. Foggy clumsily brushes Matt's sweat-damp hair off his forehead as he repeats Matt's name. "Maddie, Maddie." Matt quickly approaches that cliff's edge. He needs Foggy to tumble over it with him. He works Foggy's ass, his movements getting jerkier as he gets closer and closer to Foggy. "Foggy, you're good. So good to me. You're perfect. Just like this. Come on," Matt babbles. Foggy clutches Matt's shoulders and buries his face in the crook of Matt's neck. Lashes moist with unshed tears flutter against Matt's skin. Foggy nips at Matt, thrusts his cock against Matt's belly. Matt needs to hold on a little longer, wants Foggy to come first, but he's not sure he can. He praises Foggy more, every sweet nothing a truth that's been seared on his heart. Foggy gives one final hard push, then freezes, caught up in his orgasm. Hot semen spurts onto Matt's stomach, trapped between him and Foggy. Matt's orgasm crashes over him, putting him into free fall momentarily as his body sings with ecstasy. As he comes back to himself, Matt can hear Foggy sniffling. Foggy takes a composing breath and shifts, taking his weight off Matt. Matt hugs Foggy tightly, dropping Foggy back on top of him. How upset is Foggy? His heartbeat is slowing in the aftermath of his orgasm, but seems to be settling to a faster rate than his usual post-sex rate. There's salt in the air from his few tears, but the scent of sex, sweat and semen and lube, and that particular combination of pheromones that spells arousal to Matt, overwhelms Matt's ability to parse what sort of tears these are. Matt runs a hand up Foggy's back, then down again. "Foggs," he asks, "you okay?" Foggy's face remains buried in Matt's neck. His words are muffled as he asks, "Did you mean those things you said?" Matt aches for Foggy, for the depth of this hurt his love feels, and for how ignorant Matt was of its existence. "Yes," Matt says simply. "For all that I'm blind, you're still the light of my life." More wetness against his skin. Matt draws idle heart shapes on Foggy, hoping Foggy can draw some comfort from them. "Please talk to me." I don't know what to say. When was the last time I was lost for words?" The answer pops into Matt's mind immediately. 7 months ago, a month before this new thing between them started, when his birth mother had dropped in on their firm because she'd been in the area. Reminding Foggy of Rosalind now would be a surefire way to make him clam up, however. So instead, Matt says, "When Judge Robinson belly laughed at that lewd joke in court last year." Foggy chuffs wetly. "I'd never seen her crack a smile before then. Who knew she could laugh, much less laugh like that? Plus, she's a septuagenarian. 70-year-olds aren't supposed to laugh at lewd jokes in court. But out of court would be okay?" Foggy finally unburies his face, turning his head to rest on Matt's shoulder. Matt could lie here all day with Foggy on top of him, weighing him down, grounding him. Maybe with a brief pause to clean up the mess trapped between them. But now, with Foggy opening up to him, is not the time. Matt can suffer the uncomfortable feeling for Foggy's sake. "By the way," Foggy says, "I appreciate you not bringing up my mother while we're both naked." Matt pulls a face, lips curling in disgust. "Not bringing her up was partially in my own self-interest," he says. "I haven't told her about us, you know. I don't plan to do so anytime soon, either." "That's fine," Matt assures Foggy. "She always harped on my fatness when I was a kid. She does it less so now that I'm an adult, but anytime she finds out I'm seeing someone, she starts up again. I thought if she knew about us, you'd join in on her comments, laugh at her jokes, maybe." Foggy is crying again, subdued. His tears roll softly off his cheeks onto Matt, and trace a cool path on Matt's skin as gravity pulls them down until they reach the pillow under Matt's head. "Foggy, never. You wouldn't be the first person I dated who did, and it wouldn't have been out of character for you given the things you've said in the past." It pains Matt to admit it, but I might have. I'd like to think I wouldn't have, that I wouldn't have been callous like that, but I might have. Foggy nods. His hair tickles the underside of Matt's jaw. Matt continues, "I hope you believe me one day when I say I love you as you are. Because it's true. I'll work at being better until you do believe me, and you know how stubborn I can be when I put my mind to something." "Oh, Matt," Foggy sighs, "I already believe you." Foggy's heartbeat cries out true, a beautiful sound. "But if that's the case..." "Then why the tears?" Matt asks. "It's a lot to take in, a big change in how I thought things were." Matt squeezes Foggy, a wordless disavowal against who Matt used to be. "I'm processing." Matt glides his thumb along Foggy's neck, curves it over Foggy's jaw, the faint stubble there prickling the pad of his finger, then up Foggy's cheek with its downy soft hair, following the faint concentration of moisture, until the tip of his thumb rests under Foggy's eye. He wipes away the wetness gathered there. "I don't want to be the person who makes you cry, Foggs." Foggy sniffs. His biometrics are beginning to level out to their usual state when Foggy is relaxed and content. After so many years of Foggy as his friend, his partner, his other half, sometimes Matt can't pinpoint exactly what he's sensing from Foggy that divulges Foggy's emotional state. Only knows what the totality of Foggy is expressing to him. This was the cathartic sort of crying. "Thank you for today, Maddie. It was good." Foggy isn't crying anymore. Matt's awareness of his own body crashes back into him. His awareness of how he's sunk into the mattress with Foggy on top of him. How he's pushed down by Foggy everywhere they touch. How his cock can feel Foggy's pulse trapped under Foggy's belly as it is. And how the name Maddie curls through his ears the sweetest sound. Matt is also aware of how their post-sex mess has turned sticky and flaky and slippy and crusty all as one. It's a lot to be aware of all at once, and Matt simultaneously suppresses the urge to rock into Foggy's heat and to cringe away from their slowly drying pool of mess. He freezes, unable to decide how to move, how he wants to move, or what Foggy might be amenable to right now. Foggy, as he so often tries to do, steers Matt to the sensible option. He asks, "Are you ready to get cleaned up now that we've laid here marinating for a while?" Matt throws his head back as best he can while lying down, jutting his chin into the open air. "Dear God, yes. Please, yes. Why is semen so itchy as it dries?" Matt crabs. This time, when Foggy shifts and braces himself, removing his weight, Matt lets him. Foggy laughs as Matt scrabbles out from under him and beelines towards the bathroom with its soft washcloths and warm water and gentle unscented soap. Matt is nearly finished cleaning himself when Foggy joins him, pausing in the doorway. Matt assumes Foggy is leering appreciatively, so he stretches, elongates his torso, and wipes his cock with the washcloth in a long, slow pull. Heat rises in Foggy's cheeks, and Matt grins. "Are you planning on staying in tonight?" Foggy asks. "I could be persuaded," Matt says cheekily. Foggy crosses the threshold, and Matt crowds up against him. He kisses Foggy languidly as he uses the washcloth on Foggy. When they part, Foggy says, "I'm not up for a second round yet. You need to keep your big billy club holstered for a little longer." Matt cants his pelvis towards Foggy, trying to find friction for his billy club. "How am I supposed to be patient when you say such sexy things?" Foggy flicks Matt's bangs. "Old hornhead, more like old horny head. Come on, we'll put on underwear, close the blinds, and sit on the sofa listening to a record." Matt groans. "I repeat, how am I supposed to be patient in these circumstances?" Foggy pulls away from Matt and re-enters their bedroom, the sound of his footsteps taking him over to their dresser. He calls over his shoulder, "We can even sit sideways on the sofa with you holding me." Matt imagines it, Foggy in his lap, his ass snug in the V of Matt's legs, leaning back against Matt while Matt's arms circle him and Billie Holiday serenades them from the record player. Foggy likes to tease Matt, rile him up and set his desire aflame so that by the time they get naked, Matt is burning. It's good that Foggy is using this new-to-him knowledge of Matt's desires like this. It's a sign of confidence, that Foggy is comfortable with how Matt desires him, that he trusts Matt enough to do this. But oh, Matt is going to burn tonight. End notes. Dorrit's is what it says on a bag of snacks Foggy's eating in the bonus tale at the end of Volume 3, Issue 1. It's not just me misspelling Doritos. Thank you for listening.